If you've ever thought to yourself, I'd love to start a side hustle, I just don't know what I can do, then stick around because today's guest is a perfect example of how to take skills that you already have and turn them into a profitable business.
Welcome to Side Hustle Teachers, where we believe that being a teacher doesn't mean you have to be broke or burnt out. Our mission is to help teachers like you build successful businesses so you can find financial freedom, pursue your passions, and discover the many options that exist for you beyond the classroom walls.
Hey there, and welcome back to Side Hustle Teachers. I'm Stacey Ogden, your host, and today we have an episode for you that you are not going to want to miss. I am chatting with Elizabeth Yarnell, and we're going to be talking about how to incorporate skills you already have to create a thriving business. Now, before we jump in, I want to mention that this episode is sponsored by the Edupreneur Academy. Edupreneur Academy is the premier membership program for teachers and educators who are looking to build a side hustle while still being the boss in the classroom. If you are interested, you can check it out at members.sidehustleteachers.com and you can get started for just a buck. Now let's dive into today's chat with Elizabeth. Elizabeth started as a high school ESL teacher. She's taught writing as an adjunct professor and then transitioned out of the classroom to become an instructional designer for some of the top Fortune 500 companies. In 2010, she actually started working with her son's school to create a program on making videos. The program was so successful and so well received that she branched out and brought the program to more schools in her area, which was so successful that she branched out again and brought them to schools around the country by providing her curriculum online for teachers. I can't wait for you to hear Elizabeth's journey and how she really harnessed her skills and training to help bring her side hustle to life. Let's hop in with Elizabeth.
Elizabeth, thank you so much for being with us.
Stacey, I am so excited to talk to your listeners and tell them about all the great stuff I have for them.
Excellent. So before we get started, why don't you give everyone a little bit of background, who you are, what you do, and sort of how did you come to do what you do?
My story starts, wow, so long ago. In 1988, I started off working in the film and video production industry. And I worked in that industry for about a decade, and then I transitioned and I became an instructional designer. And that meant that I designed educational programs, at that time mostly for adults, but it was very early in the days of the internet. Here I'm going to really date myself. And in fact, things like CD-ROMs were just emerging. And so I trained to become a multimedia instructional designer, which was new, a new position at that time. And I designed tons and tons of training programs, mostly for big Fortune 500 companies and telecoms, things like that. And then my life took a hard right in 1999 when I went to sleep as usual and I woke the next morning blind in my right eye. Turned out I had multiple sclerosis. So that kind of set me down a different path of looking into health and particularly alternative health and autoimmunity and how to manage autoimmunity. So I became a naturopathic doctor and I have an entire business with a nationwide clinic where I help people with autoimmune issues. But in the meantime, back to why I'm on your podcast today. In 2010, my oldest child was in second grade and his school received a grant for the integration of art and technology into the classroom. So my co-chair for the committee and I, he was a film professor, is a film professor. We created digital storytelling programs and we took every student in K through five in that elementary school through a digital storytelling program over the course of each school year. After a number of years running these programs, and of course, I'm an instructional designer, so I standardized them and every year I improved them. We decided that we should be able to offer these programs to kids who were not lucky enough to go to that one particular elementary school. So that's in 2014 when and why we opened Digistars Make a Movie Workshop. And at the time we were offering after school enrichment programs, summer week-long summer camps, and single day camps during school vacation times, like Martin Luther King Day, things like that, which we've done, or I've done now because I bought my partner out in 2015, very successfully for, wow, almost 10 years now. And in 2019, last summer, I decided to put all of our curriculum up into an online e-learning portal. So now people who aren't lucky enough to live in the Denver metro area, like the kids in our almost 30 schools where we have delivered and offered programs, can benefit from these programs as well. So we have all of our digital storytelling programs up in an easy to follow step-by-step e-learning portal for anyone to access and implement into their classrooms or their after-school programs themselves.
Yeah, that's awesome. And this is for like teachers to get access to the software and then they, or the programs, and then they work with the kids, correct?
Exactly. I think it's best if there's an adult leader. I think teenagers maybe in high school area, high school about, could probably follow it themselves, or maybe homeschooled kids. But in general, it works best if there is an adult who's really guiding the way. We look at our instructors like guides. You don't need to know anything about movie making. You don't need to know anything about computers or technology. You don't need to know really anything in advance because we give it all to you. It's really turnkey.
Yeah, and I think that's definitely something that's, it's playing on your background, right? Because when you're designing all of these programs for Fortune 500 companies or whoever, you don't know who's going to walk through the door. You don't know what experience they're going to have, or, you know, what sort of technological background they're going to have. So having something that's just ready out of the box and anybody can do it is a necessity.
Absolutely. And that's exactly how I was trained, right? To create materials that wouldn't require anyone to have any background knowledge of what they were teaching.
Yeah, excellent. So what I really love is the sort of evolution of what you've done, taking it from a grant program at one school and then expanding it to multiple schools in the area and then expanding it to something digital that people can download from wherever. And I would love to hear you talk about like how that journey sort of took place and the twists and turns and things that maybe you didn't expect that came up.
Quite a saga for sure. So in the beginning, when we started offering these programs at the first elementary school, we were using interns or student teachers to teach the programs to the kids. And these teachers were being drawn from the film students that the film professor was interacting with in his college. But the problem was at the beginning was that, of course, every student had a different idea of what to do. And we had limited time. Some of these programs only had maybe 7 contact hours with the students. And we needed to make sure that they were getting the same experience every time. And it wouldn't matter who that instructor was. Mm-hmm. So that's when I really started to apply my instructional design skills to it and design, improve, and develop, and continually tweak it now for 10 years. And every time it just gets better and better and better. And I can bring in more resources and I have more knowledge because I myself have taught, oh my gosh, I don't even know, probably 100 at least classes myself. And every time, first of all, every time I just fall in love with the kids. So these are such fun programs to teach. And the kids love being there and they just get so excited and engaged. But then each time I would finish, I would reflect on, well, what worked well, what didn't work well, and then I would go back and tweak it. So in 2017, I had the idea to put them online in an online program. But at that time, I couldn't find the software to make it work. And I did find like one learning management platform software plugin that maybe was going to work, but it was not really made for what we were doing. And it was more like just kind of a, for a film class where you could post your own videos and have your professor review them, which isn't really what we do. And so that kind of stalled for a while. I had hoped to get the programs in an online form by the end of 2017, but it wasn't until spring of 2019 that all of a sudden I found the right program, the right platform, the right application to make this work and to make it work so seamlessly. In the beginning, we had PDFs printed out that the bound into a three-ring binder that the instructors would follow. And then at certain points in the guide, it would say, okay, go to the Dropbox and access this folder and show this video to the kids. And when you show it to them, these are the discussion questions that you're going to want to instigate, which is a little clunky, but it was the best we could do at the time.
Yeah.
Now it's all seamless. It's just right up in there. As you go step by step through the modules, you can see there's the instructor's guide part, helping the instructor determine how to lead the class. Every module has a lesson plan complete with learning objectives, materials that we're gonna need, new vocabulary that we're teaching the kids and that we're going to continue to use for the rest of the program. Our programs are really the same as production 101 classes at the college or post-grad level. We use the same procedures that they use to make a Hollywood movie. We don't dumb it down at all, even though our audience might be 7-year-olds.
Yeah, and you know, something struck me as you were talking about that you were looking for this additional platform to work with to put everything online, and what you were working with was a bit clunky to begin with, mm-hmm. but that doesn't make it not viable. You know, the instructors were still able to do what they do and you know, make it work, even though it wasn't exactly as perfect and seamless as you might want. And I know this is someplace a lot of our teachers get stuck, is that they want something to be perfect and flawless, and they want it to be, you know, they want it to be stunning, like the things they see on Teachers Pay Teachers, or they want it to be,
right.
you know, as seamless as possible. But, and sometimes you just have to wait it out.
Right. One of my mentors talks about taking massive imperfect action.
Mm-hmm.
So you can wait and try to wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait till you have it perfect. Although back in the day, I remember when I was graduating from college and we had to create our resumes and then print them out on really special, expensive paper. And every time I would get to that completion point, I would take it into the computer center, go to the printer with the laser printer, I'd print it out in the nice paper. I'd get like 20 resumes. And I come back and then my roommate would find a missing period or a misspelling or something. And I'm like, we've been over this so many times. How could there still be something? But really the nice thing about digital technology and the internet and even word processing documents is that nothing is permanent.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the thing that I love about this part of the story is that you can take something that is imperfect and you can put it out there and say, this is, you know, something that you can do. I mean, you had a viable business that you were using with people who were running your programs. The kids got the benefit of it. And, you know, while it might have been clunky to you and it wasn't the perfect thing in your mind, it was something that was making a difference and it was still impacting the kids. So isn't that really the point?
I agree. And you know, really the only person who would notice if something wasn't perfect would be me. Nobody else notices.
Yeah, exactly. And the same is probably true of that resume. Like the way that they're glanced over is
right.
Like nobody would notice the period. But yeah,
exactly.
It's amazing how we get hung up on these little tiny details or we wait until it's perfect when really, if we think about the number of people that we can impact in the meantime, while we wait for, you know, the software to be developed or the platform to be developed, or, you know, for ourselves to learn the skills to make it what we want it to be in the end, taking that imperfect action is a bit scary, but it's a great way to get out there. And then you get the feedback too. You must have gotten a ton of feedback as you're going through.
Right. And the cool thing is, with my programs at least, that you get to work with the kids. You're a teacher, you already love kids, hopefully, right? That's why you came into this industry, into this career path. You already love kids, and you enjoy seeing them get what you're trying to bring across and have these amazing experiences. And regardless of how perfectly you can teach it, they're still going to have an amazing experience. They're not even going to know anything that they missed out on.
Yeah, absolutely. So through the iterations of this, starting with the grant project at one school, how did you then decide to take the leap and bring it to more schools where maybe you couldn't be present at all of them and trusting other people with your program?
So really, it was the film professor's motivation, instigation. He thought this would be a good side hustle. And really, what a perfect side hustle, right, for a film professor to teach movie making programs.
Yeah.
And he was right, absolutely. Once we kind of got the formulas down on where to host it, how to find our staff, who we wanted to come in as staff to teach these programs. Because there were times when I had, 12, 14 programs running every single week. And a lot of our programs are after school. So obviously, if I have like 3 after school programs on a Tuesday, I need 3 sets of staff members to staff that. So I had a lot of staff at a different time, but my staff turned over frequently.
Yeah. Because they were only hired for like that, you know, however long the program was.
Exactly. So they would come in really semester by semester and not volunteer, but stand up to teach as many of the classes that we had scheduled as they wanted.
Okay. Yeah. So that's a big leap though, taking a program that you designed and you presented yourself and putting it in the hands of other people. How was that step, I guess you take your imperfect action, but how did that step really take place? Did you really just go for it with all of the various schools, or did you start with a handful and then expand?
Let's see. So we started at the one elementary school, and then the first semester that we offered programs to other schools, we had 6 schools. And then by the end of that school year, we had 14. So it kind of grew naturally. And some schools would come in at different points during the semester, depending on their enrichment schedules. Other schools we did residencies in, where we would go in during the school day and work alongside the teachers and with the teachers to take that academic unit and put it into the structure of digital storytelling. Whereas in our after-school enrichment programs, it's mostly free-form creativity.
Okay, so that was like another avenue that you had available to you, is actually working in the classroom on...
Right, because that's how we started at the first school. It was all in the classroom.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that. So at the first school, it was during the school day.
It was during the school day. And that school actually had what they called electives every Friday afternoon. And so we also taught electives. But we went into every single classroom. It was K-5 elementary school, so 15 or 17 classes, something like that. Every single classroom during the course of the school year with my staff. And the teacher would, in September, choose what unit they wanted to use digital storytelling in. So for instance, we had second graders who were studying extreme weather in their science unit, and they used green screen technology and live action filmmaking to make movies about tornadoes and hurricanes and El Nino. We had fourth graders who were studying pre-Columbian civilizations, and they made documentary movies about things like the sports the Aztecs played or the Mayan calendar. We had, we had fifth graders who were studying fuels, and they made claymations on things like biofuel technology or wind power.
Wow. So it tied right into the curriculum of the classroom.
Exactly.
But they got to learn this additional technology and skill and...
You got it. So it's integrating art and technology into the classroom in a meaningful way, right? That's one of the important factors of, are you going to use that decision? Are you going to use technology in the classroom or not for this lesson? But this really integrates it so that the students go through the same process of researching their topic, organizing their content, writing out what they've learned, and then presenting it. So instead of ending up in that presentation phase with a research paper or a diorama or a poster, a three-panel poster board, they end up with a movie that they then can show their classmates and teach what they've learned.
Very cool. So then when you move to the after-school program, then it was more free-form, where they didn't necessarily have content that they had to do. They could do more of what they were interested in.
Well, they still go through the production process.
Right.
So that is very structured. They go through pre-production, production, and then post-production. And that never changes. But they, and in fact, we have this all in the content as well. How do you help them create a story? A lot of what we do is storytelling. And that's a big important part of pre-production in all of our programs. So we always talk about what are the three parts of a story? Well, there's a beginning and a middle and an end. And then we talk about, well, what elements make up a story? There's a ton of literacy that goes on here, right? So we reach all kinds of different learning styles with this approach. We talk about, we need to figure out the characters, the plot, the setting, the conflict, and the resolution. All of that gets done in the pre-production phase with the kids, and they do it all themselves. So there's handouts and worksheets that they do, as well as instructional videos that they watch. And we have all throughout our programs, they're peppered with videos that other kids have made that we then direct the leader to, well, let's talk about this and ask the kids, who are the characters in this movie? Where does this take place? How do you know it's in a restaurant? What do you see there? Oh, you see a checkered floor. You see tablecloth and candlesticks. Okay, that sounds good. Those are good clues that you're going to use. So we're going to create this multi-sensorial product where you're going to use what you see and what you hear and what you say. All of these senses are going to be used to communicate your message.
Right. And then, so then the last sort of step was then to take it out of your local community.
Yes.
And what was sort of the thought process and the sort of, you know, the hemming and hawing, should we do it this way? Should we do it that way? That you have to go through when, you know, whenever your business takes a leap forward, there's always that, I'm not sure, what should we do it this way? Should we do it this way? Should I take this road or this road? How do you go through that process with yourself and your partner?
It's true. So, well, I bought my partner out in 2015, so he's no longer around. So now it's just me. And as I said, I have another job. I'm a naturopathic doctor as well. And it felt to me, once I found the right online platform, it felt to me like I could have a much better, bigger impact and influence so many more kids if I started just teaching more teachers how to do it. So all along, I've been teaching my staff every semester, right? When we have staff turnover, more or less, or every year, I would have staff training sessions and teaching them. So now I put all the training up online too in our portal. So there's a whole train the trainer, teach the teacher series called The Secrets of Teaching, Stop Motion Animation, The Secrets of Teaching, Documentary Filmmaking, et cetera. So that my goal is, we need to disrupt our educational landscape. We need to bring our teaching and our learning into the 21st century and supply kids with the skills that they're actually going to be using when they are out of, well, when they continue in school, and then even when they're out of school, regardless of what career they're going to have. They need to do this on YouTube.
Yeah. Yeah. So when you're making these choices and you're going through the process of, you know, sort of taking an in-person program and designing it, there's a lot of trust that goes into the people who are actually going to be purchasing your program and bringing it into their own schools. Do you have a system in place to like certify teachers, or is that something you considered, or is it just sort of, here's the program, this is what we very, very strongly recommend, and now it's yours?
So I do have a certification system where each program that you go through, you'll get a certificate is the word, that you can actually print out and take in to your school administrator. Ideally, what I'd love to see is people who become enamored with this and become certified with this and go through the training courses. If you go through all six of the courses, you become a master digital storytelling instructor. And then my dream is that you go to your school and you take the lead and you bring it in and you encourage the other teachers in your school to bring this into their classrooms and use it with their students for their regular units. It doesn't need to take up an additional time in your curriculum. You can use it on anything you are already teaching.
Like an ambassador of your program.
Exactly. Thank you for saying that. Yes.
And the other thing that I really love about this is that one of the things that I tell my teachers when we work together is that you've already got skills that can help you build a side hustle. Whether you want to work with kids or you want to leave your day job as your day job and you want to do something else, you've already got the skills. And as you're going through this whole process, it's so clear that you're taking the skills that you already had and just twisting them in a way that makes sense for a different audience. And then voila, you've got a program that is impacting, you know, who knows how many kids.
Exactly. I think of it in very much the same way. And these really the fundamental skills that we teach, all the skills you need for the movie making. And then the other skills are really classroom management. They're already skills you have as a teacher. Right. And as a teacher, you have your market right in front of you every day in your classroom.
Yeah, and giving kids an outlet. And then at the same time, using your own, you know, in designing all of this, using your own skill set that you've developed over years as an instructional designer really provides like the perfect storm for you to have a thriving business and the kids to get something out of it. Or, you know, for some of my teachers who are crafters, using the skills that you have in the classroom and the practice that you've had with this, you can teach crafting to other people, or you can do
exactly
things that just build on the skill set that you have without having to be afraid of, you know, trying to learn everything all new. So, you know, right. One of the things that really like jumps out at me about your story is how strongly integrated it is with the skills that you've built as a professional, and yet it's completely different. So it's a real something I think that a lot of our teachers can think about in terms of how can they then use the skills that they have to create an additional source of income, whether it's with kids or not with kids, or you know, it's a fabulous opportunity to really stop and think about how those skills can help you in other areas.
I agree. And one of my motivating factors was I would be at an educational conference and I would see there'd be this like 1 hour talk about how to do stop motion animations or documentary filmmaking, kind of often from somebody from Apple or something like that. But 1 hour, and they give you a little overview, and then what? And I'm like, well, but teachers shouldn't have to reinvent the wheel every time. I've done all that invention. Why do they have to do it again? They should just take what I've already done, save themselves all that prep time and all of that headache learning, and just run with it and have fun.
Yes, exactly. And it's always what it comes down to is, can you solve a problem?
Right.
And, you know, and this solves a problem for teachers. It solves a problem for kids. It solves
for parents.
For parents. So it's amazing what you can do if you just look around and say, I can do that.
Yep. And I did a lot of market research at the beginning, and the need for after school care and enrichment programs is only growing as we get more and more two earner households or single parent households. Parents aren't done at 3 o'clock. They need childcare until much later. And it's so much better. They really want more computer access. They want more technology and they want more art because they recognize that their kids aren't getting that in the classroom.
Well, Elizabeth, thank you so much for being here. How do we find you? How do people get in touch with you or, you know, find out more about your programs if they wanted to offer it at their own school?
So the easiest way to get there is through my main website at digistarsworkshop.com. That's D as in dog, I, G as in girl, I, S-T-A-R-S, workshop.com. And when you get there, you'll see a place right on the homepage where you can click and go into the learning e-learning portal. And that will show you all of our courses that we have available. And right now we have a special kind of DIY stop motion animation toolkit special going on where you can get the curriculum for stop motion animation as well as the teacher training course as well as 1 year of access for, I don't even remember, but a discounted price. And then I do have a special offer too for your listeners where I'm happy to give away a stop motion animation essential materials checklist. And the way to get that is through the website, go to bit.ly/D-S checklist, lowercase.
Yep, and we will have all those links in the show notes. So if you just check out the show notes on whatever podcast app you're using, there's a link to that there. But yeah, thank you so much, Elizabeth. This is, it's such a great thing for teachers to think about in terms of, you know, this is an option for them to have a side hustle that's sort of out of the box done for them, and also a way for them to think about how they could use their unique skills to build something of their own that can have a really great impact on a lot of people.
Thank you so much, Stacy, and I am very grateful for this opportunity to connect with your audience.
Hey there, me again. I'm just popping in to remind you that Edupreneur Academy is now open and accepting members. It is jam-packed full of courses, tutorials, and tech tips to help you get your business up and running and off to a great start. If you are an edupreneur in the first 2 years of business, Edupreneur Academy is a fantastic option for you. Just go to members.sidehustleteachers.com to learn more and sign up now. See you on the inside. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen today. I know that you're busy and your time is precious, so I truly appreciate you spending some of it with me. If you like what you're hearing, you can support Side Hustle Teachers in 3 ways. Leave us a review on iTunes or Apple Podcasts. Reviews help Apple know we're here and we're helpful so more people can find us. You can share the show with friends and family. Did you know that podcast listenership is growing every single year? And a lot of that is because of recommendations from people just like you. And lastly, join our community. You can find Side Hustle Teachers on all the major social platforms, and we have a very active, engaged Facebook group. Join us. All the cool kids are doing it. In the meantime, I hope you have a wonderful week, and until next time, take care.